Facebook found him, got in touch, and I should say, you know, very walking into that apartment in New York was a sense also really of coming home and finding sort of a lost part of the family. Strange, uncanny, but indeed wonderful to meet them all. And we found we had a lot in common, and it's just been a very warm and friendly relationship ever since. So really, really great to be here today. We were laughing a little bit, Nicholas and myself, about what we might call the presentation, and we thought of things like, you know, the ones that missed the boat. We arrived too late, or has the boat gone already? Because you'll see, I mean, you as a family have had, through your pioneer years, considerable hardships, and of course the things we've just heard, you know, none of this is terribly easy. On our side, at roughly the same time, hardships of another nature, as actually we will be talking about, mainly Nicholas, about Belknaps in 19th century London. Now, we want to be really honest at the outset. The Belknap name in England is extremely rare, but we really have to admit that we haven't exactly worked out how we related. There were about three or four options, and Brent and I have debated those in February in New York, but we can't really say exactly. However, given that we're dealing with about a 5-mile radius, the Belknap family, the name Daniel, I think that we can be 100% sure that the relationship is there. It's just a great case of fully defining it, and we're really looking forward to the work on that. But I'll explain what the problem is as we go forwards. So, if I can have the first slide when Brent's got back. The first time I heard the name Belknap, because of course the name has died out in England, was actually visiting a very elderly great aunt of mine at this house, which is about the same size as the average American garage. You would sort of put your car in one of these, I think, guys. But in England, we live in things like this. This was a very, very small, modest house on an island in the Thames estuary. It was my grandmother's sister who lived there, I should say, in considerable poverty, sort of living on her own vegetables from the backyard. And we always felt a bit sorry for her, went and visited her as a family, and in the end, probably because my parents had shown some attention to her, they actually inherited this tiny little house, which didn't exactly make us rich, but this was the house. Now, the house was called Belknap. So I just really regret not asking her, because we couldn't, we didn't know it was a family name, why did she call it Belknap? It was just a name to us, almost like a made-up name, and we never inquired why. If we turn to the next slide, we can see that on this rather poor island in the Thames estuary that was susceptible to a lot of flooding, and particularly in 1952, you can see the floods, and that gives you an idea perhaps how a little more of how the house would have looked back in the 1950s into the 1960s when I was visiting it, rather than in the sort of made-up 1980s version that you currently see. And I think what I'm now going to show you is the last archival documentary use of the word Belknap in an English document, which, coming across, is a repair bill for work on the house dating from 1934. And where we've underlined it in red, you can see the name Belknap. I think that's the last time we have the word Belknap in England in a document. And it should be said, the papers for the Belknaps, such as they are, a handful of stuff, actually passed to my mother. So that's why we have some strange things like builders' invoices. The geography, though, doesn't really stay just in this little island of Canvey Island, but it's all to the northeast of London. We're going to start in Sawbridgeworth, a place that will be familiar to some of you because of the associations with Bennett and with Abraham, from whom we are all descended, and from Bennett, who we all descended, and with Abraham. And you can see Sawbridge was right at the top of the map there. And coming down, the other places closer into London we're going to be talking about are Hackney and Shoreditch. Hackney, a moderately prosperous village in the 18th century, by the 18th century. Shoreditch, always a very, very poor area, providing sort of basic workers for the industries around London. And one of the things that is worth saying is that people who've done UK genealogy have noted that people tended to stay in the part of London from the side from which they might have originated in a village. So that you've got people from Sawbridgeworth coming into London, staying on the northeast, probably because someone said to them, oh, well, I know someone, you might be able to get lodging at an inn. You get that sense of, or you may know someone who's already moved from countryside to town. And in our family, we have a lot of those cases of people coming in from the southwest, staying southwest, coming in from the northeast, staying northeast. So, let's go to Sawbridgeworth. And on Easter Sunday, thinking of you all, we had my parents for lunch, and because we only live about 25 minutes away in a car, we thought after lunch we would set off and think of you all and go to Sawbridgeworth, which is exactly what we did. It was a beautiful day, as you can see, and here is the wonderful medieval church in Sawbridgeworth, where many of our relations were baptized. Coming on, you can see the font where many relations were baptized. We'll say exactly which ones in a second. And you can see Nicholas, myself, and indeed my mother. She's 86. I always say the wrong. She's not 87 yet. No, she's 86. Standing there by the font in which many of our ancestors were baptized. Still there in Sawbridgeworth Church. Coming on, we just thought you might like to have a photo of my mother, who is the closest thing there is still surviving to an English Belknap. Nicholas will explain just how Belknap she is. She is surprisingly Belknap. We call her double Belknap, in fact, which will be explained by Nicholas shortly. So let's just move back into the historical side of this with the children of Bennett, which... with the children of Bennett. And we can see the ancestor of all of you right at the top there, Abraham. We simply dismiss him by saying he went to America, so that's very simple. That's what happened to him. And then we see there the other children. Now the ones in red are the ones who were baptized in Sawbridgeworth Church. So that you can see that Sawbridgeworth, though there were a few exceptions, we visited all the other little churches where they were buried around Easter time as well, but you can see that the red ones clearly are Sawbridgeworth ones, and that's really the centre of gravity of the family in the early 17th century. The other thing to say, though, I'll say that in one second. So there you go, those are the Bennett children, and Sawbridgeworth baptisms. Moving on, this is the reason for this slide is that when we work backwards from where we now are, we get to a Daniel Belknap. And as you can see, this is a discriminatory family tree, which strips out absolutely everyone who isn't a Daniel. Who isn't a Daniel. So the people are in this family tree from Bennett are only there, one, because they're male, which means they have and would pass on the name Belknap, and two, because they actually have the name Daniel. Now, there are some options there for potentially being descended from some of those, but what I want to emphasize is that very, very close, within the space of a few years, we work back to Daniel Belknap, an incredibly rare combination of names, and basically you can work from Bennett to Daniel Belknap. So we're incredibly close. The question is, where is the precise link? And in honesty, we don't yet know. We have to do more work, which is good work for Brent and myself. So Going onwards, this is the will of Henry Belknap, who was the father of one of the Daniels. He mentions Daniel in the will. We can't derive a great deal else from this will, except to show that actually with the recent rather good cataloguing of the Essex Record Office, quite an amount of this type of Belknap material is now coming to light, which we're going to, Brent and myself, work through and see where we can actually positively link up and identify. But, you know, interesting there to see a will surviving from that period. And we come back to some more information we have for wills later on in the presentation. Moving on, we jump just a few miles away, but we jump into another county, and that's very significant in English terms. Counties, you have to search by counties, even on the LDS family history site. So just be careful, we've moved counties, but we've only travelled about 5 miles, 5-6 miles at this point. The village is North Weald Basset, and there's already at the time of Abraham, from whom you are all descended, an association with North Weald Basset, since some of his children were actually baptised there. So North Weald Basset is where the story takes us when we're working backwards from Nicholas and myself. And we're very fortunate because all the parish registers there survive in incredibly good condition. So we can move on and see here in 1699, underlined in red there, I hope it's not too low on the screen, the marriage of Daniel Belknap and Anne Lalong. Now, they were married there in October 1699. Quite interesting, given the, as it were, the first wave of pioneering that the Belknap family did, namely setting off to the New World for maybe we don't know their precise motivation, but it surely had to do something with religious freedom, freedom of expression, as well as perhaps the opportunities that the New World offered. Interesting in religious terms to see a Belknap in England marrying someone with the surname Lalong, because Lalong would definitely have been a Huguenot name, i.e. Protestant refugees from the European continent, and therefore people with strong religious feelings, quite on the Protestant side of things rather than on the Episcopalian Anglican side of things, and therefore potentially some of the same motivation that caused your ancestor Abraham to board that boat. Moving on, I think we can, this is where the sadness in the story starts, and perhaps things start to go wrong. We're in an idyllic, potentially but probably hard-working Essex village. Agricultural labour, roses were the main, agricultural labour was the main source of employment. And here we have the death of Daniel Belknap in that village. Now, it would seem to me to be impossible there was more than one Daniel Belknap in that village, and therefore we are assuming that this is, very sadly, the death of the person who was married the previous year. Doesn't have to be, but it was the death of a child, then it's always clearly noted that it is a child's death. This is an adult death in the following year, 1700, of a Daniel Belknap. So that our assumption, and of course there are some assumptions here, are that when we move on to the next slide, we can see the birth now of a Daniel Belknap just a month or so later, and that June birth of a Daniel Belknap is actually, we're assuming that given the rarity of the name, that has to be the birth of someone who is, as it were, orphaned by the time they are born. The Daniel Belknap from whom we are descended. Being orphaned in the countryside, and indeed probably in town as well, is a real issue because, you know, normally one's father might have actually introduced one to a trade or to work possibilities, and we assume that for that reason he might have decided to be the first then to move out of the countryside into London, where we find him with a profession very shortly later. At the bottom of the screen, you can see the marriage of an Anne Belknap, who seems to be the widow of his mother, Anne Levesque, now married as Anne Belknap. It might have been that when he was 17, his mother remarried, and at that point, it was probably time for him to set off. So, Daniel Belknap, born in the countryside, he next appears then, if we can move on, he next appears in the village outside London of Hackney, where he marries Elizabeth Bolton at the age of 33, has 9 children, of whom 2 died, and he worked as a butcher. And we can then find him some legal documents as well, namely that, if we move on, we can see that he was accused of selling meat on a Sunday. But before we worry too much about the good name of the Belknap family, he was not found guilty of this appalling offence committed at supermarkets throughout the length and breadth of the United States every Sunday now. He was not found guilty of this offence, but actually it seems that his servant was selling the meat without his knowing. So, interesting. Something about status, he actually had a trade, a profession, a butcher. And moving on, we can also see that he had a certain status in the community. He was the, and I always get the title of this wrong, so Nicholas is going to prompt me. He was the surveyor of highways, which we think is around making sure that the roads in and out of Hackney were properly passable and maintained. And that he was paid for by the parish. Those types of things were organized by the church in the 18th century, so he was clearly considered to be a reliable person and someone that could take on that type of responsibility on behalf of the community. Have we jumped one? No, we haven't. This is the will of Daniel Belknap. Can we just check we didn't? Sorry, I didn't look at that. I should have drawn to your attention that rather fine picture of the Church of St. John Hackney. It's still there, absolutely beautiful church. We went to a concert in the church a number of months ago, and it's still really set in beautiful green and a nice place to visit. Church has been rebuilt since. I should add that before Nicholas points that out to me. We go on then to the will of Daniel Belknap. Wills are very significant actually here because Daniel married for a second time and had 2 children, namely a John and a Daniel. Now Daniel is the elder, and although in the will here Daniel leaves everything to his wife, his second wife, by the time we get to the will of his son Daniel, which we're just about to see, this is the will of his son Daniel, we find that this son is describing himself as a butcher. He's the eldest son, and again we're now, you know, there's a certain amount of fantasy in putting these stories together, but it would seem that if Daniel is the eldest son inherited the butcher's business, at that point, we have John, from whom we are descended, clearly not inheriting the business. And it is that John who moves from the village, you know, the pleasant surroundings of Hackney, to Shoreditch, which is really, was very an extremely tough area in that period, on the outskirts of East London, and actually an area where, when you look at any of the contemporary descriptions, some of the poorest people in London actually made their home. I think that then means that I pass over to Nicholas.
Thank you very much.